Well, I'm very grateful for your being here this day. It is a privilege to be able to take the Word of God and spend time with you together and maybe glean some new things. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of John, Gospel of John. We've been going through the Gospel of John in our month of many. And John chapter 4 will be our focus this morning, John chapter 4. And for many of you, that will automatically raise a memory of John chapter 4 when you remember that it is the chapter we meet the Samaritan woman in. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is the importance of friendliness. Now, for me, my job, in a real sense, is to lead you and me into green pastures, into the pastures God would have us go in. In other words, we're to grow in our faith. And for the believer, being friendly is what God would have us do. Not just have friends, but be friendly people. And for some of us, that's totally contrary to our wiring, I tell you. My dad was kind of an ornery guy, you know. And so for me, what God has done in my heart is really a miracle that I actually like people to some degree. You know, it's like crazy. And that probably works for me because I'm in the ministry. But, you know, for some of us, we think, well, I touch no one. No one touches me. I'm an island under my own. No, nobody's an island. Every one of us impacts the person beside us in one way or other, for good or ill. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of friendliness. And I'm going to give you out of the gate my outline. First of all, we're going to find out the importance of friendliness is found in that God, friendliness is desired by God. It's something He wants out of you. Okay, well, that should be enough said. We could all say amen and go home. We should all say, bring the invitation, come down and get right with God, because we need to be friendly. We don't need to be squeezed into the mold of our world. Secondly, friendliness is a deterrent, and it is the deterrent to ruin. You know, if we're not friendly as God's people, many people will end up lost for eternity. So it is the deterrent God has intended to use to ruin. And thirdly, friendliness is what draws out the truth. And frankly, folks, we're going to find that the truth is what will set us free. You shall know the truth shall set you free. Not only the truth of Christ, but coming to terms with what's true about ourselves. And then finally, we're going to see friendliness delivers or brings deliverance from shame. And for many people, shame is a big deal. They don't like to admit it. They live as if it's a festering wound that's been bandaged up and nobody can see. But in their core, there's a degree of shame associated with things as life goes on. We kind of mount that up a little bit more and more. Now, let your eye fall down in the passage, if you would, to verse 4. The Bible says of Jesus that He must needs go through Samaria. Now, that's interesting because this must needs go through Samaria thing means that there was a pressing in His heart. He felt obliged, obligated. He felt like there was something going on in His core that really did not congeal out of His own rumination. Here's the thing. What we have in our day is we have a convergence all the time. God is constantly moving toward people. He wants people to hear about Christ. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a place you didn't know why you were there, you didn't know what was going on, but you met somebody, talked to somebody, something happened, and the next thing you know, things turn to a spiritual discussion. You see, Jesus in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, was baptizing. He had things going on, and He had to leave Judea, which was the southern part of the Israeli area, and He had to go up to Galilee, which was the northern part. But because Samaria was right between the two, with the Jordan River being right there on the border there, Jews hated the Samaritans so bad they would cross the Jordan and go up around the area of Samaria. And then they would cross back over at the top. They didn't even want anything to do with them. And so what you see is when it says He must needs go through Samaria, there was something pressing Him. He knew He had to go there, wasn't quite sure why, and we're going to find out that He wasn't quite sure why at the point, but He had to go through. He felt pressed of the Spirit to go there. Now, folks, as a believer, if you're a believer, a child of God today, there's times when you need to be sensitive to that pressing of God. Sometimes God puts on your heart to pick up the phone, make a phone call, call somebody, talk to somebody, and that is important. You need to respond because you have no idea what you might find out. I called somebody this past week out of the blue. I hadn't seen him for a little while. I said, hey, how are you doing? And I came to find out that the woman had just had surgery on her heart. And I was able to go up and visit her and pray with her over congestive heart disease that she had just come through the surgery. But it was right at the right time. And here's what was really cool about that. It wasn't just that we were able to help her along, but her husband was humble. When I left, he said, I just want you to know I appreciate you being here so much. Now, I could not have written that script. God put her on my mind. The phone call was made at just the right time, in just the right way, and we were able to bring that man just another step closer, perhaps, to a saving knowledge of Christ. You see, God loves us so much that He manipulates the circumstances sometimes to put us in the way with people who will bring us to Christ. And the Bible says in verse 5, then he cometh to a city of Samaria. Again, Samaria is a place they just did not like to go through, but he had to go through Samaria, and it's a place called Sychar. Now, there's no city called Sychar. It's a town they called Sychar, because Sychar was probably Shechem in Samaria, but the word Sychar means drunkenness. So not only was it a place he didn't want to go through, but it was probably a city he really wouldn't have been typically the place, you know, you'd want to hang out if you were a teacher of Christ or teacher of salvation. This was a place of drunkenness. And for many times, you and me, we find ourselves, you know, shoulder to shoulder with people that maybe do not share our values. And it's very important for us to have our Christian life in order so that the difference is stark. It brings to their attention that there's something wrong in their life, something missing. You know, I worked in Cleveland for those 6 years when we first started the church here, and here I am going back and forth, and these guys were base and vile. But when I walked in, the language cleaned up. It didn't clean up perfectly, but it cleaned up better. The jokes were kind of brought down to a level that was almost intolerable to me, but for them it was like salt, you know, for them. What I'm saying is we are to be salt in our world, light in our world. That means we go in there as a preserving agent. We go in there kind of holding back the decay. That's how they used to keep things from decaying when refrigeration wasn't available. They'd salt the meat. You're the salt. And the Bible says he went there and he came to a town that was called drunkenness. Everybody had this idea. This was a town of just revelry and rioting. And the Bible says this was where he had to go. He had to go through Samaria. The town was called Sychar, town of the drunken, literally. And he came to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. See that? Came to a parcel of ground. Oh, here's a spot. Here's someplace I can stand. This is something that's familiar. I'm hoping that as you go through the month of many and you take these sermons that are written out for you and you're reading them, that you're finding in your hurry, scurry, your harry-carry world that there's a soft spot, there's a place in this, you know, world in which we live, which is hostile to our faith, that there's a soft spot, there's a parcel of ground. And if you've read a couple of the messages already, you know God loves you, and it's true even when you're not hearing it said out loud. You're reading it, and it was true even before you started reading. You see, the reality is there's a soft spot in every hard place because God sees to it that His beloved is taken care of. And Jesus came into this area, and He came to this well, and this place, this parcel of ground, there was a well. And the Bible says there was a well there. It was Jacob's well. And the Bible actually suggests that he had to sit. Look how it's written. It says, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. The word thus means he sat wearied. In other words, it's almost like he sat thus. He sat because he had to. He was tired. Now, what's interesting about that is the pressing of going through Samaria, the weariness crescendoing at just the right moment, he sat down at just the right place. You see, God is a sovereign God. God is a God who controls all circumstances. He controls the very breath that we take every day. Last night I drank a Dr. Pepper late, but I laid down to go to bed, and I mean, my heart was pounding. You ever do that? You lay in there, you hear your heart pounding? I'm like, an hour later I roll over, and I'm like, whoa, I'm still awake. You know, I'm like, whoa. You ever get like that? You know that heart? I'm all about these shows like TLC where they show you opening up the chest and, you know, watching the heart. You like that? I think that's cool stuff. Some of you are like, oh, gross. Me, I'm like, oh, man, let me in there. I want to see. You know, let's open that chest. But what I've been seeing of late is I've seen these heart transplants. Blows my mind. That heart is dead. It's not moving. And they hit it with a bolt of energy and it just starts moving. Of course, it's real personal to the MASH family. Right? But the bottom line is it just starts bleeding. You know that spark? There is no explanation for that spark except God. God gives you every heartbeat, every moment, every heartbeat, every heartbeat. What's so cool about it is you don't even hear it 99% of the time. You're just kind of cruising. But that heart could stop at any moment because God holds in His hand the power of that heartbeat. And the only reason our heartbeat keeps going is because He decrees that it be so. He upholds all things, the Bible says, by the word of His power, including your heartbeat. And this situation Jesus had to go through, and He had to sit down here. And what's interesting is that He was weary. This is God. This is the God-man. This is God the Son. And He took upon Himself, we are reminded here, He was human. He was in as much man as if He'd never been God. He's there and He's tired and He sat down and there He sits. There's God. Picture it. He's tired. So He understands your fatigue sometimes. He understands when you're tired. Dead dog tired, we used to call it. He understands being like that. Some of these guys, I think these young men who are in the military, and I got a handful of young people that are looking at different types of military. Ryan's in the military. And I think sometimes, man, I wish I'd have gone in at least for the boot camp. Because every young man wants to know he's got what it takes. And there are times, I'm sure Dave could tell us in his story, and Brian and Mark, when they were doing their training and various ones, man, that they were dead dog tired. They thought they could not take another step, but they found something in them. Jesus understands that. And there are times spiritually you're dead dog tired and you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to minister. You don't want to witness. All you want to do is find a pillow and hide. Sometimes just find a big bowl of ice cream. Can I hear a word? Amen. Just find something to dive into. Just anything. I'm tired. I need some comfort. And you're throwing down the ice cream and you're just doing whatever it takes to nurse yourself. Jesus understood that. But the Bible says He had to go there. And He went there because the Spirit prompted Him. And what's interesting is the next scene. The Bible says in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria.